Hi, welcome to the big show. Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about last week. I had work and it just all took over. And then Friday I was out as well with work. So, but we're all quiet now. Back at the office, working in the office. Been good. Apart from I did be back in. So that means we're better. Joining me, fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, Muller. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm fine, mate. I've had a busy week rebuilding a computer.
Avoiding deers.
Oh, God, yeah, I got knocked off by a monk jack. I mean, you wouldn't believe that in the middle of Birmingham where I live, would you? I was cycling up a hill towards the canal.
Well, either you or it was lost.
It came shooting out the undergrowth right in front of my wheel and knocked me off. Luckily, a monk jack's only about the size of an Alsatian dog, so... But it was quite interesting.
Cool. Next to him, Jeffrey.
I am so happy to see you back. It's just not the same without you, Ewan.
It was so refreshing to hear you were all in light jackets apart from Rich last week.
Oh, yeah. And right now it is 5 below. And let's see. Hold on. Let me look at the schedule. What's the forecast? And we are going to be we're going to be down to minus 23 by the weekend.
Charming. Excellent stuff, mate. Does the body good, I'm sure.
It's invigorating. What's up with your tiny deer?
The monk jacks.
No, I mean, in a city. Like tiny deer. It's just...
Yeah.
There's no way tiny deer could live here. The bobcats would get them before the mountain lions had a chance.
You can't get moose in Birmingham because they'd all be attacked and abused. It wouldn't work.
Jeff, I've got a story about years ago. There was what they call mortuaries, where they kill the sheep when they take them.
Abattoir. We had this story on the Christmas show. Don't tell it again. Right. We've got a fantastic new feature in Wirecast. When Muller stops talking, it puts a picture of Jeff over him.
Awesome.
How cool's that?
That's fantastic. You know, that's like the best upgrade.
There you go. Look, see, it's done it. There it is.
That's awesome.
I like that.
It's like a noise gate, but useful.
and it's proof that you can never have too much of me.
There we go.
Absolutely.
It's Jewel Jeffs. Next to him, it's Howa. How you doing, missus?
I'm fine. Glad to be back.
You look a bit glam tonight, mate. Have you got...
I had to be on a couple of meetings this morning, so that's why you have this. When I don't have meetings, you don't have this.
We get
and
PJs.
Besides, I'm trying to step up to, you know, Patrice, because Patrice is just awesome at this stuff, so we're just waiting on Jeff now to catch up.
It seems as well that whoever's talking replaces Muller, because now we've got an extra hour.
Yay!
Also totally worth the upgrade.
There we go. Yeah, mate. Definitely have power over you any day, Muller.
I hate you all.
Only you, mate. Only you. Next, Ian, how you doing, mate?
I'm great, sir. I'm very well. Up here in chilly Yorkshire, we've got snow.
Have you got minus 23?
Not minus 23. We have minus. There's been minus something all day. Yeah. It's not been very hot. It's been quite crisp. It's been bright, though. Lovely and bright, but... It's been cold.
The snow we had in Kent last week was I've never seen snow like it. It was wet, so it was like rain when it was coming down, but then as soon as it was hitting, it was running and then freezing while it was running. So everything was just caked in icicles, and it was proper ice. It was on the back of the cameras, and I was knocking it off the cameras with my finger to try and I still couldn't get it all off. I had to put three of the cameras went in the back of the car caked in ice, and they just had to melt on the way out. No other way around.
What, the cameras or the ice?
Both, yeah. I'm not saying it was hot in the car, but I was bloody frozen, man. Oh.
Know the feeling.
Next to him, Rich Dirt Switch. How you doing, dude?
Sup.
What's been happening for you? Have you got snow?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, we've got snow. This is West Yorkshire. It's like -5 outside. It's horrible, and I'm not going out in it.
But it's Yorkshire, though.
That's true. We used
if you
to
did go out, it would be best snowstorm in world.
It would be. I tell you what, though, there is a wonderful patch of ice on the pavement outside my house, and it's been just so much fun watching people slip over. I know that's a horrible, horrible thing to say, but
that's mean.
No, you can't. You can't put anything on it, mate. Otherwise, it's your fault.
I know, right? It's not my pavement. I didn't do it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's good fun.
Abstention. And next then, Patrice, how you doing, missus?
Doing very well. It's very, very cold here, too.
Well, it's Austria.
Definitely has not crossed. Well, but this is not usual for us, even. Like, Austria, yeah, there are areas where, like, it's really cold and snows in winter. But not Linz. Like, Linz has probably more like UK weather, where it's, like, barely under, like,
if,
negative temperatures.
If it's not cold and you don't have snow, the skiing tends to be a bit shit.
Well, I mean, in the mountains it's different, but as I said, here in Linz, like, I mean, last year, I think we had a couple of days where it was like -3, -4 degrees, and usually it was like 1, 2, 3 degrees. Today it didn't even, like, it was like the top temperature while the sun was out was like -5. So,
okay.
Really cold.
Do you think we started to talk about weather too much in this show?
We got nothing else to talk about, that's why.
Well, it's, but are you suggesting there's no tech to talk about?
Barely anything happening, right?
Yeah, no, it's true. COVID has hit big time. Yeah. Who's got the story of the week then to fight over? And five people are going to go, oh, as soon as this hits the chat room. That's Patrice.
I'm guessing it's me.
I'm looking for my new replacement story now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have
a couple others. Fine.
Okay. So
breached water plant employees. Go on then. Yeah.
There was a breach in a water plant in, I think, was it California?
Oh, Florida. Was this the thwarted terrorist attack?
Well, for the US, it probably would be. Yeah. The funny thing, I mean, funny or sad thing is, how was it breached? That they had Team Beer running on a old version of Windows, like unsupported, unpatched version of Windows, an old version, and the password had been shared. The same Team Beer password has been shared by multiple employees. So it was basically zero security.
So was it a disgruntled employee?
The water supply hadn't been poisoned before this.
Yeah. So. Someone gained access and increased the amount of sodium hydroxide, which is not good.
Oh, that's not the news.
it's definitely not good. You could have like at least gotten sick or died. There had been some safeguards in place, so it was detected, which was probably the only good thing. It was running Windows 7.
Wow.
Probably because the software that runs the plant is 32-bit and only runs on Windows 7.
I was going to say, this is one of those stories that doesn't lose in the telling, in that you bet that there's a piece of plant here that just cannot run on anything else. Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you about stuff that runs on 3.1.1 from the days of the road.
No, no.
I mean, it's probably still the same.
It still is. No, I've told the story many times on the show about carriages that run on 3.11 and people going home and writing drivers for new monitoring equipment them.
The machine didn't have a firewall, used the same password for everything. Like,
I don't see that story is not lost in the telling. So some journalist has gone, how can we spin this to make it sound like a terrorist threat? When actually, it's just, and as of Monday, that piece of software is still running on another, they've just changed the password, because actually nothing else will run. Yeah.
I'm sure that's all they did. This security breach happened twice And yeah, so it happened, and someone watched the percentage number change, and so they changed it back. and then I guess it was later that same day, whoever was getting into the system did it again and pushed the percentage back up a second time. And so whoever was looking at the screen was like, oh, they did it again. And
so there was a firewall. It was just Fred was the firewall.
Yeah, sure. I think that's basically it. It was just some guy sitting in front of the computer. And but how could they not, after the first incident, like, take some sort of action?
Well, because that could have been a hardware glitch.
Right.
No, that could have been a hardware glitch.
Yeah, it's like when I was working, how would you know? I would spot stuff, but I wouldn't be able to change anything. I would have to get somebody from IT to do it. They're the only ones that are empowered to do it. They only work...
Well, this sounds like a settings Friday thing. So it showed up a percentage. So he's thinking, oh, that's putting too much in. We need to take it back. So he alters the setting. Mm. And then the second time it does it, it's like, okay, that's not hardware or something like that. Triggers off in his head. But the thing was that it's like, so listen, Fred, till we get the password changed, just sit there and keep changing it back, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Insanity.
I mean, if you think about it, it could have been much worse.
Yeah.
What, someone could have drunk the water?
No, I mean, someone could have, like, destroyed equipment, like they did in Iran. They could have done worse than just changing that. It was bad enough as it was.
All they've got access to is one computer that runs the dosing levels for the after mix or the post mix or something like that.
But that's the thing. As far as I know, those networks are usually secured. They should be. At least that's what I know about infrastructure. They should be secured, and they usually are.
Yeah. Okay.
Just happened. So the fact that the fact that
you do realize no one else can see what you're laughing at, right? And I can't show it either, and I don't know
it
why.
It just confused me. The fact that, as I said, the fact that nothing happened is good, but once you have access to the network, I mean, who's gonna say, like, there are other systems in there, and there's other stuff that you could access.
I don't know they had access to the network. I think they had access to one computer from the way the story reads. And if that computer could then access the rest of the network. Yeah, fair enough. But
you can go to other stuff in the network.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how it starts. That's how it started in Iran.
Yeah, I think they were... it sounds like a disgruntled employee as well. The tracked who's done it?
As far as I know, not yet, no.
It was,
I don't think they know who did it yet.
They were using Fred's login.
Yeah.
I think it's Biden trying to get Trump.
Is Trump definitely in Florida? Have we confirmed that?
But it just goes to show you that, as usual, your employees are your biggest security threat.
Absolutely.
I missed the whole point of that. Yeah, well, spot on. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
The insider threat is one thing that people are really aware of now. Mm. We get more and more inquiries about stuff where we're like, it's not protection of the data or protecting, but keeping people out of it to delete it. It's becoming more and more of a thing. I mean, it's very much you're not the only threat, isn't your competitor or your, it's the disgruntled employee you sat last week because they weren't doing their job properly.
Wasn't there also, was it Twitter or something where someone just deleted accounts and stuff? Like left and basically deleted a lot of things?
Didn't someone delete Trump's account? He got sacked and he deleted Trump's account.
He's completely banned and barred now. He's not allowed back in, is he?
Like last year. But I think there was something.
They didn't delete his account, but they hacked into it. And they were able to hack into it two different times, And they did it by very quickly guessing what the account password was. And
ultimate power.
And it was a guy that does security research. And so both times after he was able to get in, he let some federal law enforcement agency know. I don't know, maybe CIA or FBI, and said, hey, this is what can happen right now, and someone needs to go in and fix the security on his account.
He should have just said, hey, FBI, do you want Trump's password? That would have been far easier.
They gave it to him, or he gave it to them. Yeah, he's like, here you go. This is all you need to get in. Here's the proof.
And the guy that got in touch with Twitter and got it fixed got fired. Because the FBI really wanted Trump's password.
But I definitely do remember there was a story sometime last year where like a disgruntled employee deleted like a bunch of stuff. It was all recovered, but there was something happened.
Swamp Rats put down, it sounds like a pitch for a new product. Protect yourself by Fred the Firewall. We have a title.
Firewall Fred.
Fred the Firewall.
I mean, what's the best way to protect against human attacking your network? Fred.
Another ever vigilant and alert human. Uh-huh. AKA exactly. Fred. Good story, mate. Because the rest might rattle through according to what we're thinking here. So who's next? Oh, Jeff. Poof.
Now, the reason that I had to go hunting for a backup story was because the backup story that I had...
This is two hours.
If I were to drop my original backup story in, because Mueller is here, the show would just basically end. So okay. I had to find a different story, which is actually something that I think is very interesting. Perseverance Lander is going to be on Mars on the 18th. That's when it will land. And so this robot is going to look for evidence of life.
Yep.
And this is also the rover that has a drone with it, a little helicopter drone.
Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, so the helicopter drone is going to be able to gather additional data, and it's also going to be used to run tests that are part of data they need as we work towards a manned mission to Mars. And anyhow, it's just a very cool rover, and they're doing the same thing where it gets a sky crane drop onto the planet. And this is actually the third Mars mission in a month that will get to the planet, because there's I forgot who, what was it, China? They've sent a probe.
Right.
And
I think so, yeah.
And that one, I don't know if it's in orbit yet. If not, it's very, very close to being in orbit. Then the second one, is that an EU mission? I don't remember now. And that one's right behind the mission from China for Arrival. And then a few days after they're both set up in orbit, then Perseverance shows up.
And this, the thing that's kind of cool with this one is that the cameras take a picture of where the rover's going to land, and it compares it to onboard plans that it's got to know whether it's in the right location or not. And it can also then scan the landscape if it's not in the right location to see where the safest place to put down is. That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive, yeah. Yeah,
I mean, the fact that we've flown something all the way to Mars to land it safely is one thing, but to do that is even better. And then I love the pan out here at the end where it's just like, yep, entire planet, 3,000 miles across, and there's just you, the size of a car, on your own. And I mean, the nearest brother you've got...
They've learned from past mistakes. I mean, they have lost a couple of rovers and stuff.
Don't say the beagle word.
Yeah, it's beagle. Really hard to land on Mars.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's,
because it has just enough atmosphere to just, like, screw up the systems that we have. No atmosphere, like the moon, easy to land on, well, relatively speaking. And landing on Earth, okay, really thick atmosphere. We can use that. But on Mars, the atmosphere is not thick enough to create enough drag, but there's also enough atmosphere that you can't use the same tactics that you use in a vacuum to land. And yeah, it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
This means essentially we've built a robot that can land and park on another planet better than my mum can park a Kia at Asda.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing,
without any
really.
Directions.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. I mean, we can't control the rover or, like, the lander from here, because by the time we send the signal for it to do something, it has already smashed into the planet.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Just like your mom in Asda.
Just like my mom in Asda.
By the time you tell her, be careful, there's another car.
Too late. Yep. Now, don't forget as well that if you were listening to BTN probably 18 months ago, this is the lander where we told you to go and register your name for a very special disc that's on the side. So on the left side, there's a tiny disc. It's only, the size of a large coin. But on there are 4 million names of people on planet Earth who have registered, and my grandparents are on there, Sharon's grandparents are on there, all of our kids are on there, and it's there's also one of the listeners last year registered Rover McRoverface. And the episode where we talked about doing this is called Rover McRoverface. If you remember doing that, then this is the one you would have got an email that says that your disc is now landing. So there is a disc on Mars with my name on it. How cool is that? There's archaeologists in the future going to go, look, Ewan Rankin, do you remember him?
No.
One of the most significant men of the 21st century.
It's like, no, they'll totally do that. They'll be like, Ewan Rankin, do you remember him?
Yeah.
And the other archaeologists will say, yeah, he's the guy that knew Jeff Gamet.
Very good. Very good.
Okay.
Ow.
Okay.
Burned. Bastard.
It's been great being on the show and all.
No, I can't get rid of you because you'll be back up, mate. You can virtually say anything you like.
I can get away with almost anything now.
You can. You say anything you like, dude. No. I'm looking forward to that because it's Friday. It's, I think, the landing show, according to the email, starts at 2:15 Eastern Standard Time. So that's 7:15 p.m. So it's perfect. Sit down with the wife, troll up a browser and throw it up on the TV and watch our names land on Mars.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
What time's it happening? Friday, 5 to 5?
No. Because that would be cracking.
It's on... I'm just trying to see time.
You and me are the only two that are old enough to remember Cracker Jack.
No, I was thinking that as well.
Grancy, just
well, yes, I remember
350.
Howard clearly not old enough, and the others, Rich not old enough.
I'm old enough for Cracker Jack,
and the foreigners wouldn't know what we're talking about.
I remember Cracker Jack.
You do
from being very, very young.
You would be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's going to be
very young.
Don Estelle,
8:55 UK time.
Don McLean,
7.
Stuart,
7:15 UTC.
Stuart, Stuart, yeah. Who was he? What was his
most
name?
Most of them are dead.
Ed Stewart. There we go.
That's it.
Most of them are dead or in prison due to Operation U-Tree. That's a joke, by the way. Don't write in and suggest that you used to present Cracker Jack and now Operation U-Tree is not. It was a joke. There was a great meme the other day that someone posted in the rugby room. And it was a chief constable opening up a time box, And he was like, okay, this time capsule's been opened up and we've got things in the 70s, things that we no longer have. I wonder if my hair's in there. And everyone's joking. So he flips it open and he pulls out a really inappropriate toy. And then he goes down and he pulls out a Gary Glitter LP. And then he pulls out a Jim Will Fix It badge and it just keeps coming. Oh, no. Stylophone, that was the other one. Who was the guy that played the stylophone?
That was Ralph.
No, I know. That's what he was saying, though. I was still in character, sorry. Good story, mate. Is anyone else going to sit and watch the landing?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
We could do a landing show. What about if we finished the Mac show and then we stuck around for a landing show? Who's up for that?
What time is it? I thought I've got the email here that says it's at 7:15 p.m. UTC.
Yeah, the show starts.
Right, okay.
The show starts at 5, so it would be after.
No, so Mac show starts at 4.
At 4, yeah.
And then we finish at 5:30. So then we go and get some tea, get a curry, and then we'll have a live landing show. At 7, yeah, we'll have the NASA feed in the bottom corner.
Sure, it's on Friday and not on Tuesday, on Thursday.
Oh, go on then. It's on the 11th, isn't it?
What, the 11th?
Today's the 11th.
18th.
On
the 18th. So it's Thursday.
It's Thursday. So yeah, we can do. Actually, let's
it'll
do
be
a.
On air.
Well, that'd be perfect. No, we'll do a live big show with the coverage right in the bottom corner here.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect. It's probably about 4 hours of lead up though to it landing, isn't there? Yeah, and there'll be no pictures from the actual rover at all until after it's landed and taken it, and it'll take it a week to process it and send it back to Earth. It's just going to be that boring bloke talking over crap footage of what's happened in the past and computer simulations, isn't it? You know it. We're gonna be here all next week going, God, this is going to be good. And then, lo and behold, it'll be largely shit.
It'll be.
That sounds like exactly the sort of thing we would live cover.
Something that's largely shit. Which one of these stories do you want me to click?
Either or. They're both the same story. It's just two different...
Right.
The Reg is slightly better coverage, to be fair, than the one from Engadget.
Oh, piss off, Google adverts. Right, Engadget, go on then, Ian. Tell us about your Volkswagen partnership with Microsoft.
Yeah, it's just now there's more... It's interesting in some ways, and it's, of course, there's the joke for years we've always worried that Microsoft would eventually get their claws into the car and it means we'd have to turn it off and back on again to get it to run. But...
I love the fact that the advert just to the right of the story is totally age appropriate. Good.
On ad blocker on.
God.
Totally.
Apologies.
You know, I was wondering which one of us was going to point that out first.
I haven't even started looking at the story yet.
I've got my ad blocker behind it, so I don't even know what's there. But no, it's...
You're missing out. Let's just say that.
Fair enough.
I'm just thanking me lucky stars it's not a sex toy advert that's come up next to it. Through me cookies.
And they're going to be using the power of Azure to drive the automated driving platform. The idea is that they're going to be using it for AI calculations. So they're going to basically sort of harness the power of all of the Microsoft data centers to be able to do the clever thinking parts of the sort of updates and everything else will all come through. Mm. So it sounds really interesting. To be fair, without being facetious, it does sound very interesting. Just some quite a nice way of Internet of Things and all that kind of stuff, the way of using Azure as a platform to drive this stuff on. That is kind of cool. Mainstream rather than sort of lofty world of Teslas.
Hands up, right? Who trusts Azure to drive their car for them with AI?
No.
But if not I right have now. To choose between Azure and anything Google is making, I'll take Azure.
Yeah, I'll take my.
I mean, the question is, is it really going to drive the car? Because I mean, what I can definitely see is using that power to, like, speed up the development of the car. Because I mean, driving around is a small fraction of the work they do. A lot of it is just simulating things, like running through like the data they've collected, and then just simulating a lot of things and like figuring out like what's the best way of doing this and tuning it and running it again and so on. So I could definitely see that being powered by Azure.
This is doing the AI calculations for
the driving of the car.
Remotely, the car and
the safety systems.
The automated driving platform.
The automated, okay.
Remote? Yeah. What happens when a car doesn't have a connection?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. When I lose connection on a roundabout.
Has to drive it for you.
Yeah.
Then you have to revert to the Windows 3.11 installation that's on the car.
By default.
MS-DOS.
The joke's been there for a million years, and it's fine. We've finally got the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Volkswagen are doing quite well with interesting tech. I mean, my lad's just ordered an ID.3. One of the new electric cars, and that looks interesting. I'm looking forward to eventually when I can see him again, and I'll get a chance to have a look at it. And that looks really cool.
I was talking to an architect today, and he was saying about. He said, "Yeah, so we're the concept of the business I've got with my wife, who's the architect, is that we want to have a well space so you can look at how we provide the nature in the space or running water and that kind of stuff. And it's a really good concept, the biophilia and that kind of thing. And then he said, so, and we'll also look at how you want to use the space. So, do you want to have guests around? Do you want to do it? I said, sorry, what? And he said, what? I said, what was that word you used? He said, guests. What's a guest? I don't understand.
That's funny.
Mate, I feel for you. Not seeing your family's hard.
It is.
I mean, the whole of last 2 weeks I've been down in Kent, and it's just like Kent is new strain central the UK. So yeah. I was just like, I'm not going to go up and see my parents, even though they're in my support bubble, if you like. There's no way I'm going to go up there. Stay well clear. And I got a COVID test on Tuesday just to make sure I was clear. So
there's a Bristol one there.
There's a Bristol. A
Bristol. Why am I lover?
So stay away from croquet trousers as well.
Well, that's for a different reason, though.
Yeah, definitely.
And I wouldn't dream of going near him because you and him are lovers, aren't you? So.
Oh yeah.
You go at it hammer and tongs and take the piss out of each other in the Slack room, but we know you love each other dearly. developing self-driving tech requires a huge amount of data as well. So it is in the development as well as, yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole thing of being able to push the data back and forth and having that kind of broadband. I mean, it's one of those things where Azure, I think, is probably as well placed as anything. I mean, it's without AWS. To be able to give you the platform to put to kind of have the availability.
There's an awful lot of stuff turning to AWS at the moment.
Yeah.
An awful lot.
Mm-hmm. Making a lot of money.
Azure probably does need the profile, doesn't it, to raise up a bit, because otherwise it's going to lose out completely, because everyone just, you know, if you talk about cloud computing now, everyone is automatically mentioning AWS.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, they have something like 60% market share of all cloud computing. So it's like the million other providers, all of them are like not much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do need to get myself some certifications in AWS, I think, just as having a handy thing to have in the back
for the next pandemic. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Or just become a chauffeur.
It's not a bad idea.
Muller biker, powered by AWS.
That has a nice ring to it.
Sometimes.
Yes.
And scotch.
No, it's bourbon at the moment.
Okay. Sorry to be nitpicky then.
Okay.
Next story then is for Howa. Facebook's creating an audio chat product to rival Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I'd so never even heard of Clubhouse until this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's Clubhouse?
You have to be in the don't you?
Tell us about Clubhouse first then, Howa.
Well, from what I understand,
you're young
it
and
actually
hip.
Started off as a celebrity sort of app. So it was a way for celebrities to chat with each other and have a social platform. And to get onto Clubhouse, you actually have to be invited. So they would then send an invite out to other people. Unfortunately, at the moment, I think it's only on iOS. It's not on any of the other apps because they're still sort of in a beta testing phase.
Right.
So I think Mark and Elon were on there at some point, and I think Mark is quite interested in thinking about maybe doing a rival to Clubhouse. So it's just like an audio chat. It kind of reminds me of Discord in a way.
Yeah, because there's hardly anyone on that now.
Yeah, in a little bit. I mean, obviously, there's like rooms that you can go in and join, and they have different discussions. I've tried it, and I don't know.
You've tried Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Finally, now I have some people that are worth following on Clubhouse, because I didn't know either of you were there.
We're there.
So I take it there's under 1 billion people in there.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, Howard, I do want an invitation before the show's out, mate.
Yeah, I'll send you one.
Thanks, mate. We can have a matey chat in there. You, me, and Patrice.
Don't send one to Muller. He's everywhere.
Don't send one to Muller.
I don't understand. Why is that a thing? Why does that exist? What was wrong with like phones and? What are we doing now?
Because I think with this, you sort of have that feeling of being around people.
Oh, that's what
I think in a way, because it's like in a bigger room. So you're sort of like chatting with people. So essentially it's like maybe like going to a conference or something and feel like you're in a huge room with a lot of people that you can chat to. And we've kind of lost that at this point in time. So I think that's why it's blown
that's
up.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, there was like... many, many years ago, like 10 years ago or something, there were those voice chat servers that you could go to, and I think they got lost somewhere. Mm. I don't even remember there was one that was very popular, and I don't remember it. Like something, it wasn't TeamViewer, but something similar to that. And I think that got lost somewhere, and Discord has it a little bit, and there are some others, but none of them are really focused on those. Like that voice chat aspect. Mm. App itself is bare bones. Like I don't think it has something I would call design even. Like it's
it's the design really irritates me. So thank you for saying that, because I've been saying that for ages.
It's horrible.
When there's 2,000 people talking in a room, how do you talk to one person? Is one person like leading a chat of 2,000 people or?
Yeah. Think of it like going to a seminar. Or going to a presentation at a conference where you can have a ton of people there and then you have the panel or the individual speaker. And so you'll have that person or that group of people that are carrying on the conversation, and everyone else gets to be an audience, but an audience that does have a way to be able to participate. They're just not directly interjecting into the conversation.
That makes much more sense now. Right. That sounds like the kind of thing you could do like a podcast on and have a live audience.
Yeah, but this is it.
That kind of thing.
And that's why I think I'm not fully sold on it yet, because I listen to a lot of podcasts. So it just sort of feels... It's just with this one, it's like you said, it is like having a live podcast. So, but I know a lot of people that are really, really love it. And there are some interesting talks, rooms that you can go into. But the idea of rooms sort of creeps me out a bit, but hey. I'm going into a room. I'm joining a room. I don't know.
Yeah. What kind of rooms you going into?
I'm going into tech rooms at the moment. Yeah, but they're all sorts. I mean, I have family members that use it quite a lot, so that's how.
Can you imagine setting up an expo and inviting a panel of guests and a whole audience, and then you get there and none of the guests show up, it's just you, and there's one person there just to watch the thing, but they're really excited to see you. They're like, you're their ultimate fantasy date. Oh my God, no, I guess Stalker!
That's really their best day ever.
Stalker! Facebook's, I mean, it's... see, the thing is as well, Howard, is how many people are on Clubhouse? Under a billion?
Yeah. I think so.
Under 10 million?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's under a billion.
Because otherwise, it's
say in the app. I'm checking.
I do.
Yeah, that's what I was just trying to check as well.
Get me registered, I mean, and then
if it
tell
has
you what
like
my
a couple,
is.
Like maybe 50 million or something, that's already pretty big.
Mm. But the problem is, I hate Twitter because Twitter is swamped with idiots now. It is just
those are everywhere.
Yeah.
No, but
and
Ramesh Ranganathan's left Twitter
too.
And he's just put, last time I'm going to post anything, I'm off. And I'm kind of getting to that stage myself. I just don't see... I go on Twitter and I look at, scroll through some of the posts, and I've tried really hard to curate my feed in the last year. But it's just like, I still look at stuff and it's like, oh, Jesus, the politics. And there's people on there that I value who I've met through British tech, but they've just suddenly got this political rant going on, and I'm just like, oh, I'm not interested in that shit. And people that I think are intelligent people, and they just write the most weird things that I would never have said they would have said. So,
I'm sorry.
No, it's not you. But it's like, you know, when we started on Twitter with them, they used to write techie stuff, and it was tech debates, and there was tech commentaries that went back and forth, And now it's just political stuff. And even the techie people I used to have a dialogue with, they've all gone back to it. Jeff says 6 million people on Clubhouse. Mm-hmm. That's a compact and bijou club there. I quite like the idea.
Did you find those numbers, Jeff? You see, this is the thing. I don't like the interface. I find it so hard to find things.
Hold on. I will drop the link where I found this. And this is from just a few days ago, I think.
Yeah.
Whoops. How about if I actually drop the whole URL in there? Let's try that. There we go.
Okay.
So I found the data on Backlinko. And this is from, just last week, the 5th.
Oh, so that's probably 25 million now then.
Yeah.
Is that right, though? It has 6 million up from 600,000 in December.
Right. So it's... Well, I think that starting in December, that's when they made it a lot easier for people to give out invitations.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole thing with you went to send someone an invitation, and then it goes into a queue and waits before they can actually join. That's gone now too.
Mm.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, they've improved a couple of things, but on the other hand, it's also like it's a network effect. Like if you get invited and you invite two more people, like, and that goes on, like, it just grows exponentially.
Right. Yeah. And now when you set up your account, you immediately have two invitations to share.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't used to have that. You had to wait before you could get invitations.
Mm-hmm. And now there are...
That's what is really smart, what they're doing is if someone signs up that you have in your contacts, because that's the only downside, they need your contacts, then you get a notification that so-and-so just like joined and is waiting for an invitation, and you can add them now if you want to. And then you can use one of your invitations to basically unlock them. So it's actually pretty smart.
The exclusivity of it really appeals because of the fact that Twitter is such a bore like now, and Facebook is getting that way.
You know that's going away. Like, I mean, the exclusivity is like...
Exactly. I've got
I hear there's an even higher level within the Clubhouse. There is another...
A VIP level. Room.
The VIP room sort of level, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I went in there, clearly. I'm not even in the Clubhouse yet, but I still want to be in the VIP room.
We need to find somebody who is VIP, and then we can jump on their thing.
I'll ring Mark Zuckerberg after the show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't join any club that would have me as a member anyway. Thank you for Groucho Marx for that. Pigs can play video games.
What?
With their snouts. Oh, mate. Rich
because
the Switch,
what
get
happened
in there.
Was one Wednesday afternoon, some researchers at Pennsylvania State University had very little to do and maybe were a bit stoned. And one of them said to the other, let's see if pigs could play video games. And they did.
And the pigs are regularly beating them now.
Yeah. Oh, no, probably.
And they are killing it at Fortnite. It's amazing. But they took these four pigs called Hamlet, Omelette, Ebony and Ivory. And I really think it's me calling a pig Hamlet and things like this.
Why wouldn't you call a pig Bacon?
Yeah. And it turns out they can actually make a link between pressing a joystick with their snout and moving something on a screen in return for a reward. And when the rewards ran out, they kept doing it just for fun. So there you go. Ready for Minecraft.
So they stopped looking for the reward tray.
Yeah, they were just happy to play video games.
If you want to know
the reward in itself.
Yeah. If you want to know something where someone was stoned and came up with a crazy idea, have you heard about, like, it was in the news I think also this week, about the spinach that can send emails?
Oh my god, I forgot
about that.
I'm like, okay, whoever came up with that was stoned, definitely.
Yeah.
No way around that.
Wasn't it detecting explosives?
It's actually detecting like something in the environment.
Yeah, explosives. They planted it, and it would tell you if there was explosives there. So who's the dozy idiot who's planting spinach over explosives? Surely that would detect it. Oh,
the very lucky person who's planting spinach over explosives and getting away with it.
So apparently, the pigs were playing the game and taking the reward, but then the reward dispenser broke, but they noticed that the pigs carried on playing anyway, just for the fun of it. In the end, the encouraging words of the researchers were enough. Oh, well played, Omelette.
Well played, you won Pong.
And the pig's sitting there looking at him going, piss off, give me the reward.
Yeah.
Hamlet seems to be the best one, so.
And I've seen the pigs in Snatch as well, so it's piss off eating the reward or I'll start eating you, mate.
Yes, exactly.
Have you seen the four pigmen of the apocalypse? it doesn't say what game they were playing though.
Thing where they had to move a cursor to hit a wall on the screen or something like that. Something really simple. But it's the fact that they're making a connection between what they're
Mario
doing
Kart.
And something on the screen.
I've just scrolled to that picture, and one of the researchers, I'm presuming, looking up at the thing, but just because of the toning of the picture, it looks really 70s, and then with her haircut,
it does.
It's like,
it is very odd,
isn't
it?
That's what I thought as well.
I was like, wow, this was done, they started doing this in the 70s. Cool. And she looks a bit like Pam Grier.
Yeah.
got a touch of the Pam Grier's about her as well, which is no bad thing. Pam Grier's a looker.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
But I want to know the game they were playing. I want to play the game myself.
It was Coink.
Pigpen.
Look, Sneak. It's depressing enough when a kid beats you at an online game. You don't want to push your luck by seeing if this pig beats you.
Yeah, I'm not as impressed now. I'm not
remain
as
stick with that in the unknown.
I'm not as impressed now because the pigs that couldn't beat the researchers. That's it's no fun unless the pigs can beat the researchers.
Probably had a lot more experience playing the game.
Oh, they wrote the game, so they had the back doors in it, of course.
Yeah,
they knew the cheat codes.
Yeah, the pigs now want some higher refresh rate monitors and gaming mice. They're taking it a bit more seriously.
Exactly, the hardware was what was undoing them.
The pigs' computers didn't have any RGB on, so they had no chance.
I simply can't play this at 30 FPS.
Yeah.
RGB.
I had to explain hexadecimal colour to someone this week who worked in printing. I was just like, okay.
Really?
Yeah. I was sitting there like, those six letters that you sent me for the colour, what do they mean? Well, they're the hex code. What does that mean? Okay, open Photoshop. Okay, now you see the box, yeah? Click on the colour, yeah? Okay, now in the box that's come up, in the bottom in the middle, there's six letters next to a hashtag. That's your hexadecimal reference for the colour. Type those six letters in to there, and that will change it automatically to the right colour. Well, I never knew that.
Oh, my God.
Okay. No, you never know till you're told. Fair enough.
Yeah, that's surprising, but you're right. Until you're told, you don't know.
Yeah.
A last story, then. Who's got the last story? Muller. Everyone's had a story, right?
Yeah.
Just Muller to go?
Yeah.
And Muller's story is... Oh, no, Rich, we've done. Yeah, we've done, Rich. Pricey broadband locks the poorest out of key services.
Yeah, I think...
Nice upbeat topic there, Muller. Well done.
Well, I think it's quite important at the moment. I mean, with the pandemic on, I presume it's the same in the US, but... the price of broadband at the moment is pricing out particularly the poorest out of doing their schoolwork. I mean, you're interested in that giving away PCs, and I've gave one today to IMM Max for them to give away. But, I mean, it's no good giving them PCs if they can't access online learning materials.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important at the moment is that I think EE are doing a giveaway at the moment, but I don't know the details of it. I've seen adverts on online about it, but I think at the moment is that broadband, I mean, it's what, 30 quid a month, and if you're on benefits, there's absolutely no way you can afford to pay for that. So I think it's the moment, I think broadband during a pandemic is probably as important as gas and water at the moment and electricity.
It is. I think we talked about it in one of the last big shows, that in the US, like, I know areas where they put school buses in, like, neighborhoods with like LTE access point and Wi-Fi, so that kids there could have access to, like, the internet and, like, do their schoolwork
and to the local water treatment plant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, it is definitely a big problem. And I mean, £30 is honestly cheap compared to what you will pay in the US for it.
I'm going to say it's £30. I've gave my next door neighbours access to mine because they got two kids and they can't afford internet, so I've given them a basic access.
Are you waiting for a call from the local police then to come round and see what you've been downloading?
No, it can't be worse than what he's downloading.
No, I've pretty much locked them down to so they can only do certain things. It's pretty easy to do that. But they are. I mean,
that's what Anders did to your iPad.
Yeah, it did to me, bastard.
Yeah.
But they're Somali immigrants, and they've got the house next door, and they've literally haven't got much going on. So,
good on you, mate. Well done.
Going on a, And I let them have access to my router.
No, good on you, mate. That's very good. I'm making light of it, but it is a lovely thing to do.
It turns up at 10 o'clock because I basically expect their kids to be in bed by 10, so they're not going to need access to my router so I can watch Netflix.
I pay 115 quid a month for the broadband here at the studio because that's a business broadband. Mm. It's still only copper. But it's 80-20, and it is always 80-20. It's very good. I've had a couple of dropouts of, like, you know, just like where it disappears for a few minutes and then comes back. But it's 80-20 most of the time. And then they rang me up yesterday and said, Mr. Rankin, we'd like to give you 100-100 unlimited, because I'm limited to 500 gig a month here. I went, okay, yeah, that'd be great. Thank you very much. Okay, but we need to install a new line because it'll be fibre to your door. Okay, I've not found a negative here yet. I still only get 100-100. It's not like I get, you know, a terabyte or something. But so they said, yeah. And I said, so we need to come and install that. Is that okay with you? Yeah, but I'm not having the same palaver you had last time you offered me this, because you pissed around for a year and then you went, oh, sorry, we can't install it now because the government offer's over. And I said, if you do it, I am one of the first, and you promise me that you will do it. You sign a contract that says that you will do it. He went, yeah, we definitely will. I'll send you something through, Mr. Rankin. And I got a letter off him saying, dear Mr. Rankin, thank you for accepting the offer. We promise not to piss you around, effectively. It was like we did last time.
That's good.
Virgin, because I get 110.
Yeah, but you got to bear in mind it's a business service here, mate. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm on 300 at home, and now I've got three kids all on a PlayStation, all on iPads, all on phones, all on... Two of them have got PCs. And he's like, I can't watch a frigging thing on the telly anymore. I've bought a Meraki access point because I'm going to stick it at the back. I'm going to kill all the other Wi-Fis, and I'm going to put a Quash router of some description on the main box, and that is going to give me... 40 megabits a second, and they can argue over what's left. And it's going to be dad's Wi-Fi, piss off. That's what the SSID is going to be.
And the password is Fred?
No, the password is piss off.
Yeah, but the trouble is that they'll mess with your water.
the way it tastes coming out of our taps,
maybe
they already
have.
That was
the video game the kids, the pigs were playing.
Yeah.
Oh.
They thought they were playing the water plant game.
Dose the water version 1.
It explain why Trump's orange.
Oh my god.
How much are we paying for broadband? Just quickly go round. So, Muller, how much are you paying and how fast do you get?
Well, I got TV and...
Yeah, yours is mixed in with a deal that made it cheaper because you bought more. I heard that bit out of Jeff's show last week as well.
It's £86 a month. That includes a TV full package as well.
Yeah. Jeff?
£83 a month and...
And you get a free box that you can put in a closet.
And a free box I can put in a closet. Yep. So 100 down track. And 5 up, but I rarely get over 85 down.
Okay. How?
I think I pay about 50 or so. But if I get 10 up...
A woman of means, you don't know how much anything costs. It just goes out of the account.
No,
more pause in at the top.
I pay the bills. I need to know how much it costs.
You've got a servant who brought you a lead for your computer earlier on. I mean...
Yeah, that was my cousin. I'm older, so I have that privilege.
It's
a VIP room. All I know that is it's crap. So I tend to tether to my phone when I go on some calls because it's just better to do that, even if I'm plugged in directly to the box.
Right. Okay. Mm. Rich,
who's your provider then? Well, before we go that, who's your provider?
BT.
Rubbish BT. Thank you. Yeah. Well-known brand
if
name.
Only Virgin would come down here.
was all right.
Yeah.
I've done okay with BT in the past. I'm on Sky now, which is 25 quid a month, and I get like 52 down and about 17, 18 up, something like that.
That's okay for West Yorkshire.
It's not bad.
Should be on Plusnet. They're Yorkshire-based, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what we've got.
Yeah.
Right, so here we go. Sales pitch from Plusnet. Granty, what are you paying and how much?
30 quid, 28.99, I think it is now. Something like that. And that's 40, I'm in a semi-rural area, so I don't get the best of signals, but that's 40, up and about 10 down. About 10 down. Or the other way, whichever way up. Yeah, 10 up and 40 down. Something like that.
Yeah, and Patrice, just so you could piss off Swamp Rat again.
So I have two. My family in Phoenix, they're with Cox. We pay $120 for 900 down and about, I think, 40 or 50 up, like 47 or something. Wow. And here in Linz, I pay €60 for about 320 down and about like 35 up or something.
Yeah, well, Swamp Rat says he's paying $109.95 a month for 50 down and 10 up.
That's so crazy.
That just hurts.
It's been expensive in the US.
That hurts, yeah.
And Bob Beach has left the chat room.
It's always seemed to have been expensive in the US whenever I've seen costs.
Yeah. So Swamp Rat is paying what I'm paying for less speed than I'm paying, effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly.
Yeah, we had that last week, Jeff. Like you pay, you have to sign up for like a TV package to pay less.
Yes, which is why I have a cable box in the packaging, never opened, at the back of the closet.
I heard it on last week's show.
Yeah.
This podcast and all the others is supported by TSO Host, and it is supported by you as well. So we get donations every month. If you would like to support the network, on all of the pages where we post a show on BritishTechNetwork.com, you can find a little pull down that says donate £20, £10 or £5 a month, $5 a month. Buy us a coffee kind of level is fine. We are running quite low on funds at the moment in the bank or in the PayPal account, and they pay for Kyle to do the news show every day. So if you listen to the news show, you really must give us a donation. Just $5 from everyone that listens to that news show, and that would be it. Kyle would be sorted. We can pay him an awful lot more than what we do as well. Please, if you've got any spare cash or you can just sign up for a donation, please don't use the Patreon account, because they always just drop off and lapse because PayPal gets wise to them and stops them for no apparent reason. If you subscribe to ours through PayPal directly, it won't drop off and we get more of the money as well, whereas we're not donating 10% of it to Patreon on top of what they're taking. So please, if you can, donations are welcome and much received. They go to paying Kyle. We don't touch it here. There's nothing comes in the office or anything like that. So please do that. Thanks also then to TSO Host. They support us as well. They give us free servers and we batter them with all the bandwidth that we use. Muller, can you sit still, please, do? Or go on mute.
It's not me.
Oi.
Hello?
There's no need to say that. Me. Yeah, all right, but don't use a swear word. I've got a bloody edit now. And it's right in the middle of the bloody advert for the sponsors as well. You bastard. TSO Hosts are looking after us. Please make sure you can look after them. Get out on the socials and say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech. Simple job. If you are a listener to this show, then you must do that, because that's all they want from you. Okay? It is you, Muller, because you're typing. No one else is typing. And also, I'm NMAX. We've mentioned them regularly. If I'm boring a lot of you, then I do apologise. I'm NMAX. They are, again, a good supporter of the network. Been around a while. They give us a host, one of the guests, rather, on Friday with Callum. They repair anything with an Apple logo on it. If you've got trouble with your Apple device, then get in touch with them at their booking page and get it booked in, and they will get it fixed, and they are awesome. They've also got a refurbished machine, so you can buy an upgrade for the family, and they've also got data recovery processes as well. But if you've got a slow machine at the moment, that's that tends to be a lot of what they're doing. Mo was telling me today about a graphic designer they got going in on Monday. She's booked the day off because she's sick and tired of her computer running slow, and they're going to put a bit of extra RAM in it and an SSD, and it should fly as a result. Get in touch with them at imenmax.com and mention BTN, you get 5% off whatever you order from them. They're a great bunch of guys and girls, and we love them to bits. Right, time for the cool thing. Start us off, Muller, which is why you were clicking, and now you haven't got it, have you?
Yeah, well, my app is, it's probably only UK-centric. It's called Clear Waste. So I think at the moment with lockdown, well, even before lockdown, is that fly tipping seems to be really popular in the UK, and people are dumping stuff everywhere. I was going to say another word. And Clear Waste, I mean, your local council probably has a way to report it, but Clear Waste is a great way to report it. You can submit your evidence and upload it, and they send it to your local council. And I've noticed two reports I've sent in the last couple of days, and the council have moved them really quickly. So, and also, if you've got stuff you want to remove, you can actually book a proper waste recovery firm that are definitely going to dump your waste lawfully, not on the streets through these people. So I heartily recommend this good app.
Yeah, socially responsible. And I want to make a formal apology to you, Muller, because the noisy bastard in the room is Grant.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was you.
Yes.
Apologies, Muller. But you shouldn't have sworn.
Thank you. I shouldn't have sworn, no, but I knew it weren't me, because I put my
did you
chair
get a new
on
chair?
Some foam. Well, not yet. No, I want one, though, but I need a new monitor first. The one I want, £700.
I'm sorry, Mola. I'm so sorry. Jeffrey, what have you got?
Well, first, I'm going to drop the link for what my story would have been if it wouldn't have sent Mueller into a total meltdown. So that's just in the
I'm not going to get that up, you understand.
Yeah, well, that, you know, that's a special bonus
in more ways than one, really.
Check out the chat. Yeah, but here's my actual pick, and it's a Mac app called Pixel Snap, and what it does is it measures the size or distances between objects on your computer screen. So if you need to look at something and like for me, I will have to test websites periodically, and I need to know if when something breaks, what that screen size is. And so I can just use this and measure the width of that browser window. Anyhow, it's really handy and really cool if you need to take on-screen measurements. And for people that need it, I mean, you know if you really need it. And it's a $39 app, but it's also on SetApp.
I was just about to say, please be on SetApp.
I've seen it on SetApp, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. If you're doing mock-ups of screens and stuff like that for training manuals and so on, that would be absolutely invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those kind of apps are really handy.
Or if you just got a picture and you wanted to do proportions, you would do it. That's really cool.
What's ball possession?
You wouldn't know. You support Birmingham City, mate.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But what's ball possession?
Possession of the ball?
Well, it's possession. On that,
possession.
It's on the top of that. Look at the top of the video.
I know what it is, but it's possession, isn't it? It's possession, the amount of time you've got the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said.
Well, on the...
This is like a sample program.
I thought it was something to do with the app.
Holy crap. Bloody hell, Muller. Howard.
Bless his heart.
Howard, what have you got for us?
Oh, I was going to, because Patrice had just dropped something in, so.
Howard first.
I'll drop mine
in. We always do it in order.
So I discovered this early this week, and I'm enjoying it so far. It's an application that lets you do wireframing, brainstorming, flowcharts, you name it, you can. You can even use it for, if you're managing projects, Kanban boards, things like that. But it's got so much potential, and I'm just playing around with the free version at the moment, so you can get it for free, and then there's the paid ones. But it's really good for collaboration.
Why?
That's cool.
Does it let you dump out the wireframe into anything else that then...
Yeah, so you can export it. At the moment, I think you could use, for what I looked at so far, PDF. But there are some extensions, so I've yet to explore what those extensions allow you to do. And obviously, you can connect to certain drives as well. But the interesting thing is, so you can drop in a document...
Yeah.
And you can view the document in the app, like scroll through the pages without having to go out to like a Google Doc or Adobe to look at the PDF. You can actually scroll through the pages like you would do on a viewer if you're looking at it in your Finder, and you could scroll through the pages. You could do something similar there. So, yeah, and it's when I was looking at it, because looking at it potentially of getting rid of a lot of other apps. And yeah, so
good.
That was a good one.
That's really good. Already shared to my team.
Yeah.
Cost.
That's what we're looking at, because it's quite good for collaboration as well for teams. Yeah.
Costs, Howard. Howard, what's the cost of it?
It's free. Free. There's a free version, and then I think the. Hang on. I think the paid.
There's a free. The free version gives you three boards.
Yeah,
three boards. And then it's $8 per team member per month. If you bill it annually.
Yeah, bill it, and then $16 if you're going on a more business, which I think, looking at that, I think it's just the single sign-on and stuff that it external editors. But yeah, but. For how many apps you might be able to get rid of by just using this.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Well done. Like that. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Mine, well, the show I wanted to pick is unfortunately only in the US, so I opted for another new show. There's a new show with Kevin Heigl and Sarah Chalk. Kevin Heigl, I guess. Almost everybody knows Sarah Chalk.
Yeah, because the only thing I've ever seen Catherine Heigl in is a YouTube video that says she's an absolute nightmare to work with.
Yes.
She was unemployable in Hollywood.
That's probably also why it's not surprising that we haven't seen her very much recently. but this show is really, really good, and she comes like across really likable. I watched it mostly because I'm a big fan of Sarah. She is like, you might know her from Scrubs and some other shows. And it's a really cool show. It's about, it basically plays in like three time frames. Like one is, I would guess, early 80s, maybe a little bit earlier than that even.
Yeah, those like hairstyles in the 70s. Bottom right are a bit Charlie's Angels.
Mm-hmm.
A bit Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah, but it's about two really good friends. Like one is working in, like, or one later works in like the TV industry, like news media. And Sarah, like her character, she's like a mom and stayed at home, and then gets divorced from her dad, from her husband, and so on. It's a really interesting story. I'm really, really enjoying. I mean, there's like all 10 episodes have been posted. It's a Netflix show. I forgot to mention that. All 10 episodes are available on Netflix. I really enjoyed it. It's not a long show. Like, it's not an hour-long episode and anything like that. It's just a lighthearted, fun show. Comes across really genuine. It's really interesting to see, as I said, those three time frames. Like, I think one is in the 80s, like late 80s, and you see, like, the 80s stuff and, like, everything that's happening there. So a little bit of nostalgia in there as well, I think, for some people. Not for me. I don't remember the time, but yeah, good show. It's called, oh, I forgot to mention that, Firefly Lane. So, yeah, Netflix, all over the world.
Something, the weirdest thing has just happened. Mr. Grant, we're going to do your pick. But your pick, I've just scrolled down on it. It's on AliExpress. And I've just scrolled down and scrolled back up, and the unit price went up by $2.
That doesn't surprise me.
You're going to be much hated after this pick in, I think, because you're going to...
People are going to be buying this, aren't they?
Emptying people's bank accounts.
Again, you can buy a Lego model of the Enterprise, the NCC 1781.
To be fair, it's not Lego. It's building blocks.
It's imitation bricks as made in China.
It's a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be.
But it cost £8. For £8, I could have that. And there's also other vehicles and things. I've got an 18 van I haven't built yet. But, I mean, I'm presuming they're getting mocks from somewhere and then producing the bricks and the brick packs to go with them, basically.
And there's a whole pile of thing here. There's a Millennium Falcon, which looks super tiny, unfortunately. There's a Darth Vader's Imperial ship.
Yeah.
I don't know what that one is.
No, and then the other one, there's another one. There's another...
The one that's right next to Darth Vader's Imperial Shuttle, that is the Corvette Blockade Runner Princess Leia has at the beginning of Star Wars movie.
That one? X-Wing? Not a very good one.
That's the early version of the X-Wing from the Clone Wars.
Okay, and then that's like it's Darth Vader's
a TIE Fighter prototype, and that one is from Star Wars Rebels, maybe?
Yeah, Rebels, yeah.
It's
and this is the one I saw. It's a Lego version of the Space 1999 ship.
Yes, I was just about to say.
Oh, my, I'm 56.
Bucks out of product. Damn.
Screw you, Grant.
And there's a Buck Rogers, and there's also Buck Rogers as well. You can get Buck Rogers' ship.
Screw you, Grant. You bastard.
You can spend some money on it.
This Eagle Transporter is so cool.
I mean, there's a link to the particular shop that this came from. There's a whole wealth of vehicles.
There's like a Tatooine really, bar thing.
It seemed to be pretty good Lego in terms of what came. It fit, all fit together quite nicely. The kit wasn't horrendous to build. And says he now with
Desert the, Space with Village, $204.
It's now falling apart because I've taken it off my shelf. But
Mos Eisley canteen with the roof off. Oh, you bastard, Grant. Jedi Temple, $240. Oh, what?
Yeah, there's some great. Oh,
thank God for that. The page that I wanted can't be found. That's lucky.
I've just seen one here. There's a centiscale Death Star trench. So there's two X-wing fighters being chased by a series of TIE.
Mandalorian's ship. $307.
So, Ewan, if you want to save some money on that Razor Crest,
yeah.
Hold on, I've got your back on that. Here is the link for buying detailed instructions for building your own Razor Crest.
I've just got to buy all the blocks.
Granted, the instructions are $46.
And then $500
cheaper than the $300.
Yeah.
Oh, then brick. Then you still got.
But you know, you and I assume you already have all the bricks you need to make a Razor Crest.
It wouldn't be the right colours.
It doesn't matter. It's your Razor Crest.
There might be a few pinks and oranges thrown in there.
Beautiful. That's a brilliant model.
Oh, look at that. The old slug. Space slug eating up something. Big
A very crappy Millennium Falcon is what it was eating. I think.
Oh, bugger you, Grant, you bastard. Do you know, I would be worth thousands more if I didn't do this show.
Yeah. And you know, the fact that I had that, those Lego instructions for building a Razor Crest, that immediately handy probably says a lot about me. I don't know if it's good.
Rich,
it says a lot
Rich,
about
save me. Save me, please, mate. Pick something I don't want.
Okay, I've not done very well this week, but the one thing that I've had a bit of positive experience with, and I bemoaned it when it came out, was Amazon's ability to say, you know that thing that you might get? Well, what if it was only £7 a month instead of like 50 quid? And then you didn't really have to think about it, because £7, that's nothing really. And so I've just been using this 5 monthly payment things on Amazon, and I'm starting to buy a lot of crap I don't need, just because they are ready to go, but it's only 14 quid. You've got 14 quid. I'm like, yeah, I know, but if it was 80, I'd put some thought into this. I'd maybe compare it to something else. But like, no, Rich, it's only 14 quid. You're like, okay, I'll get one then, and then we'll see. It doesn't matter then, does it? And it keeps happening. And it started with a little Echo box, and now there's a coffee maker in the kitchen, and I don't know where this is going to end, quite frankly.
So actually, there's very little that you remember buying. You just remember them lifting 7 quid a month out of your wallet.
Things just keep arriving, and it's fine so far. So, I don't know.
I trust you get to choose the things that arrive.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely picking things.
All right, okay, that's fair enough. Then. Yeah. As long as they're not just sending you random shit.
Yeah. Just things that you sort of definitely... Like, when did I as if I was going to buy a Fire tablet. And now I'm looking at the 8-inch one thinking, do you know, that'd go great on like the kitchen windowsill. So while I'm doing the dish, I could just play things on that. And it's only £12 a month. I'll not care. What are they doing to me? Jeff Bezos, damn you.
Bad luck, mate. Yeah. It's lucky that you are getting to pick it, though, because I could just imagine it's just like explaining to the wife why 50 condoms have turned up.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just signed up to this random thing. I pay $7 a month, and they send something that they threw that they think I'm going to like. That's nothing to do with me.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Yeah.
Cool. So Swamp Rat made a great comment. No red dwarf on that site. Mm.
Sorry, I'm already looking up everything you need to build your own.
Jeff will be in the chat room for the next hour posting links.
Into the chat.
Yeah.
Red dwarf's too big. It would be about 6 foot long and cost about 10,000. Oh, man.
You know they change the scale, right, Muller? Bugs.
Oh, man.
They do change the scale. Muller, where can we get a hold of you?
Muller Biker on Twitter, on Instagram, but I very rarely post there, and in the Slack room.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Jeffrey?
Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places. Here on the big show tomorrow on the Mac show. I just recently did a two-parter on Brew and Bites, which is local to you.
All right.
And just recently did macOS Ken. And Ken and I had an awesome chat. And Mac Voices Live, which will be posted probably in the next few days, and
excellent.
There's others.
Just do the ones that you're not on. It'd be quicker.
Yeah, you're right.
Howard, where would you be?
Oh, mine's easy. You can find me on Twitter as Howie A, or you can find me here on the Big Show.
Excellent, mate.
And in the Slack room.
Are you going to come on the Mac Show at all, or?
No, it clashes with a lovely topic on accessibility meeting that I have on the time, so sorry.
Ditch him, girl. Mr. Grant, where would you be?
I heard that.
Me? I'm in the usual place. I'm sometimes in the Slack room. I'll be here on the Big Show. And, of course, you can find me on LinkedIn, and you can find me probably on Twitter somewhere.
Excellent, mate. And Rich?
You can find me on Twitter at Barking or on YouTube on Early Morning Barking.
Cheers, mate. And last but not least, Patrice.
Yeah, you can find me every week here on the Big Show and on Fridays on the Mac Show. All the social medias and everything I do, you can find on thepatrice.com. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback. I recently posted an episode with Brett Terpstra. And the next one that's coming up is Tom Ferry's wife, lovely Teresa, if you've met her, which was really interesting. So stay tuned for that.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, for now. You can follow the network at British Tech on Twitter, for now. And we'll be back again next week on Thursday with the landing of Perseverance. How cool, live. That's good. Well, we'll see how it goes. Unless it's like a four-hour show or something, and then we won't. But have a great time. Enjoy the week, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Mac Show, and then Big Show next week, and it'll all be fine and swimming. Thanks for listening.